Hi, Theater Talk. We're back with John Haddon, who is directing Molière's Tartuffe, which opens February 20th at the Hubbard Hall.
But what I want to ask, John, you said something when we were talking about plays. You said something about in plays of your own. We really enjoyed your one-man show about your father.
Oh, thanks.
That was fascinating.
Have you done anything more with it? I mean, what are you doing with it? Because it's a wonderful show that people should see.
Well, that show came, it was made from excerpts from a book I'd written with my father. I interviewed my father after a lifetime of not getting any real answers from him. And he was in the CIA for 30 years. And,
that's why you didn't get answers.
Right. And he was, but I was tagging along with him, you know, everywhere we went, like a tin can, you know, on a just married car, you know, here and there. And he finally agreed to sit down and talk with me on tape. And so I interviewed him extensively for days and got hours, like 16, 20 hours of stuff. And he just spilled. But he had to have editorial rights. Otherwise, he wouldn't have spoken at all. And when he saw what I came up with, he just said, actually, no, I can't deal with this. Not until after I'm dead. And that was about 10 years ago. And then last year he died. And before he died, he said, you know, print it. Okay. And so I promised that I would.
Was that okay with the government?
I don't know yet. I don't think they can stop it, because it's me telling, you know, reporting. It's like, you know,
you're a reporter.
I'm reporting.
Yeah.
I don't claim to have any personal knowledge.
Right.
I'm just speculating, and so the book takes place as a dialogue between us about various things. He was the station chief in Israel during this Six-Day War, and he tracked all the business about how the Israelis got the bomb from us and stuff like that, which hasn't really come out much. And as well as all kinds of stuff about the Cold War. He was in Berlin for 10 years and so on. So I've got a publisher, and it's supposed to come out later this year.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm going to revive the show and make it part of a book tour.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, course, we look forward to buying
there's
the book.
There's a lot of unknowns. As you mentioned, you never know what might come along to just squash the whole project. But I'm hoping that it'll go.
Well, do you think enough time has passed so that it won't be as much of a difficulty as it was?
Stuff is coming out now that's being declassified. That's beginning to talk about some of these issues. And there's a whole book now about NUMEC, which was the uranium refinery plant in Pennsylvania, in Apollo, Pennsylvania, that out of which this 100 kilograms of uranium were leaked to the Israelis in small bundles.
Wow.
So there's a whole book about it by a very respected scientist. His name is Roger Mattson. And the book is about it's called the... I don't know the exact title, but it's the Apollo NUMEC affair. And we talked a lot. I gave him access to my father's files. And he was one of the top safety nuclear engineers at
Los Alamos?
No, at the two agencies, AEC and NRC.
Oh.
And then at Three Mile Island and Chernobyl. So he really's got his creds.
And he didn't do so well at Three Mile Island.
Well, no, he was in the team evaluating the whole thing afterwards.
About what happened.
Yeah.
Well, so you've got this book coming out, and you have the play. Have you done any other theatrical plays?
Yes, he was. I've been checking.
Well, no, but I wanted to know in terms of writing. I know he's been acting, but what about?
Well, I've been obsessed with King Lear since my father died. I sort of felt like King Lear was all over the room. During those weeks. And so soon after that, I dove into this King Lear production that we saw at Hubbard Hall.
Yeah, it was great.
It was wonderful. You were a fascinating Lear.
It was about this time last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Lear is a fascinating
play. After that, I started to put together a two-person version of it called King Fool.
Which you did in San Francisco.
Which I did in San Francisco, yeah. And the idea behind that production is to look at the dying moment, the moment of death, and the business of caretaking and family, and isolation and dementia, and looking. I'm trying to look at dementia from a different point of view, as though it's actually more about dimensions.
Yeah,
and that we just need to listen better and make sure that the atmosphere is happy in the dying person's room, so that whatever's going on doesn't take them into horrible places.
Was the person who did it with you, the wonderful woman who played here, mm-hmm. played
Ava,
in Cordita?
Yeah, Ava Roy. She was the artistic director of We Players in San Francisco, which is now a very prominent so-called immersive theater in the country. One of five that's been profiled lately by American Theater Magazine.
Oh, how great.
And,
so you created this play.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And who, Lear's one of the characters, I gather. Who's the
And Cordelia.
Character?
It's Cordelia and Lear. And Cordelia...
But she's already dead.
Shapeshift. Well, I've taken liberties.
Oh, okay.
So she's there at his death.
Not dead yet.
No, it's a new play.
Okay.
But all the lines come from King Lear, the play. But they're reorganized. The parts are reassigned. And so it's really Lear shifting in and out of rational life into dream logic. And sometimes she's part of that. Sometimes she's in real time trying to, you know, feed him some gruel. And,
is she the fool at times?
And sometimes she's the fool, yeah. And she plays games to try and cheer him up. And so they play games, and they basically go through his whole, all the sequence of events that happen in Lear up to that point. Because my father was reliving all kinds of things before he died. And sometimes they were happening in the room.
What was the audience response?
It was very, very positive. And what I've done is I've asked experts from the field, caretakers and hospice workers and clergymen and so on, to come and speak after the show. So it's kind of act two is the audience, and they share their experiences about their family members dying, or, you know. So it becomes a very interesting event.
It sounds
so. I want to keep that. I want to keep that going. In fact, I've done the same thing with other material, like interviews with women veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq, called Women at War. When I had veterans come in and talk afterwards about their experiences, and I like the format, because it brings theater back to kind of its original purpose, which is to galvanize public discussion about the issues. So it's not so much about, oh, how do you learn those lines? And
well, is David interested in maybe doing something like that at their?
You know, I haven't really talked to him about it. But you know,
it seems perfect.
The great thing about
second stage.
David is going to be really good with new work. That's his expertise. He knows a lot of playwrights. He's very experienced at bringing new work to life, and this latest festival shows that, the Winter Festival. And you guys, I missed you guys. I heard you were terrific.
Well, Sally made her debut and was absolutely
wonderful. Sally, I heard you were absolutely transcendent.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, really, really, from good sources.
Mm. No, Stephanie Moffat-Hines was our director, who was terrific.
Nice, nice.
She was terrific.
She really, if I was any good at all, it really is because she's an excellent director. Mm. She was really
And the other wonderful. Actors who worked with
and
us.
Amanda was just a delight to work with. So it was a lovely experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm really, you know, curious as to what more. I'd love to see what you have described. I mean, I just hope that there's some way it can be done in this area, because I think it sounds absolutely fascinating.
Well, I'll let you know when I see what happens. I mean, I've got this new freedom coming up after Tartuffe.
That's called unemployment?
That's it. That's it. And so I'm exploring the idea of doing tours to unconventional places like libraries and rehabilitation centers and stuff like that, to sharpen my material and then bring it to theaters.
Well, you've been very much interested in terms of site-specific theater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is of going to outside of conventional theater spaces and presenting theater.
Yeah, you know, one thing about having to work in a theater is that it's expensive. It costs a lot of money. You have to have all kinds of very technical, sophisticated equipment. And working in theaters is expensive, and that means that ticket prices are high, and then you get this whole downward spiral where it has to please everybody, and you can only and theater audiences tend to be a smaller and smaller slice of the demographic pie, right? So I'm interested in trying to find ways to make tickets cheaper, to present theater in places where everybody feels comfortable going.
Well, I always think about when I was in England visiting Joan Littlewood and standing in her theater, and she stood at the doors of the theater and said, "I hate doors. They block us off from the world. We should be out there."
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the other thing is making theater more accessible in all these different places.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it is a question of cost, but we, you know, just going to the movies is gets expensive these days too.
But it should be about the same.
But it, yeah.
And it should be either subsidized to get it that to that point. You know, the people, I mean, we're so divided as a people. And I think we even need a new word. So it's not theater, because the word theater, it carries with it a certain and a stigma about people who don't like those kind of, you know, it brings a kind of elitist, you know.
Well, there was a time, a very brief time during the Depression when the WPA theater program did, I mean, there were 500 theaters across the country.
That's right.
Plays were performed simultaneously in many places. Yeah. And it was a form of employment for theater people, which was why...
There was a theater called The Living Newspaper.
Oh, yeah, which was great.
Yeah.
But then, of course, Congress got into it and destroyed it all eventually.
Wouldn't it be great to have another WPA?
Oh, it would be.
You know, put people in the work. And like, even my father used to show me on the Merritt Parkway how each of those bridges were differently built and designed because it gave different architects and designers jobs. And they all had something to show. You
know? In those days, I've just been reading about Ben Shahn, who was a painter.
Oh, Ben Shahn.
But 10%, when there would be a federal building or a school, 10% of it had to go into artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So there were all these murals and things all over the place. And all these artists like Jacob Lawrence, who never would have become professional artists if it hadn't existed.
And it's part of the public landscape. So it's not like, oh, it's art. Well, forget about it. Well,
but because it was our Congress took off after it and destroyed it.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that would be wonderful to be doing with theater. We're going to have to take a break for a word from our sponsors. But I think this idea of conceptualizing theater in different spaces is a wonderful idea.